Reading from the Gospel of Mark. And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. He rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord had descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." Our epistle reading for today is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Found on page 1231 in your pew Bibles. We read 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 51. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel of St. John, found on page 1160, and we read John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stopping to look in, he saw the linen clothes lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen clothes lining there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" And she said to them, "They have taken my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Christ is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
My text for today is taken from 1 Corinthians, which we read earlier, and in particular, verse 57. "But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." This is our text. Easter is a little bit special for me this year, celebrating of the resurrection, because of a lot of changes that took place in my life over the last 12 months. The last two aunts that I had on my side of the family passed away and went to see their Lord. And then last February, as I think most of you are well aware, my father departed this life to be with Christ. Next week, I'll be going out to Wittenberg, Wisconsin. Hopefully, it's not going to snow. And we will lay my father's remains to rest in a little church cemetery in Wittenberg, Wisconsin. And these words that I just read to you, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ," are what he chose to inscribe upon the urn that holds his cremains. And now, I have changed. I am no longer part of the older generation. I am part of the oldest generation on my side of the family. It gives one a greater sense of mortality to be the oldest generation, as some of you here today are well aware of. The next funeral I might be attending may be my own, or one of my siblings, or someone, maybe a former classmate or something like that. But no matter what generation you are in, one thing we can be assured of. And one of the greatest blessings, if not the greatest blessing, that we have received from those generations that have gone before us is knowledge of this simple fact. Christ is risen, alleluia.
Hallelujah.
As I attend my father's funeral next week, as I attended my aunt's, one of the things that was clear then and will be clear next week was that they knew Christ. They knew the power of his resurrection. On both of their lips, my aunt's and my father's, as death drew near, were the words that our Lord had taught so many years ago. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Even when they couldn't speak our names or remember who we were, even when they had not spoken for hours and in one case almost a day, those words they could still speak. They may not be able to remember who their earthly fathers were, but they knew who their heavenly father was. And they knew where they were going. What a precious gift it is to know what we know. We who have gathered here this morning, so that when that time comes for us, we do not have to live in fear or in dread, because we know we have a Savior who gave his life on the cross for us. That even though we have sinned so many times throughout our life, those sins are forgiven. And because Christ lives, and because he died for those sins, we know that there is nothing that stands in the way of an eternity of glory with our Heavenly Father and our beloved brother, our Lord Jesus Christ. That is such a precious knowledge. And it is so blessed that someone has taught it to you and to me, that we can have that kind of confidence in our hearts. But dear friends in Christ, not everybody has that confidence. For many people, and unfortunately in increasing numbers, especially in our culture, here in this United States of America, only this life is what they hope for. They have no knowledge if there is a world to come, or if there is a world to come, that they will be welcomed into it. The theology, if you will, of our culture today is homemade. Our world, by and large, just makes it up as we go. And when someday the end of this life draws near, while they may be calling out for a heavenly father or mother, or an earthly father and mother, knowing to call out to a heavenly father for many, many people, some of whom you know will not be possible. The words aren't rehearsed. They're not embedded into their memories. They are for us. Because a past generation made it that important. Somebody brought you to Sunday school week after week. Somebody made sure you went through confirmation. Those days when you were a teenager and you didn't want to get up out of bed, somebody forced you out, as my own father did on several occasions. Somebody taught you. Somebody felt it vitally important to make sure you knew. Somebody thought it very important to make sure I knew. Let us make sure that we pass it on, that the next generation will be able to give thanks for you and for me, because we passed on that life that Christ has given to us. Christ is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen.